was a tense moment. Mr. Weasley and Mr. Malfoy looked at each other, and Harry vividly recalled the last time they had come face to face. It had been in Florish and Blot's bookshop, and they had had a fight. Mr. Malfoy's cold gray eyes swept over Mr. Weasley, and then up and down the row.
Good Lord, Arthur. What did you have to sell to get seats in the top box? Surely your house wouldn't have fetched this much.
Lucius has just given a very generous contribution to St. Mungo's Hospital for magical maladies and injuries. Arthur, he's here as my guest.
How nice.
Mr. Malfoy's eyes had returned to Hermione, who went slightly pink, but stared determinedly back at him. Harry knew exactly what was making Mr. Malfoy's lip curl like that. The Malfoys prided themselves on being purebloods. In other words, they considered anyone of Muggle descent, like Hermione, second class. However, under the gaze of the Minister of Magic, Mr. Malfoy didn't dare say anything. He nodded sneeringly to Mr. Weasley and continued down the line to his seats. Draco shot Harry, Ron, and Hermione one contemptuous look and settled himself between his mother and father.
Slimy git.
Everyone ready? Minister, ready to go?
Ready when you are, Ludo.
Sonorous!
Well, we fought bravely.
You can speak English, and you've been letting me mime everything all day?
Well, it was very funny.
They trudged up the misty field between long rows of tents.
You'll never find as long as someone who loves you tender like I do. You'll never find.
Harry tore his eyes away from the sign and looked over his shoulder to see who else was sharing the box with them. So far it was empty, except for a tiny creature sitting in the second from last seat at the end of the row behind them. The creature, whose legs were so short they stuck out in front of it on the chair, was wearing a tea towel draped like a toga, and it had its face hidden in his hands, yet those long, bat-like ears were oddly familiar.
Dobby?
The tiny creature looked up and stretched its fingers, revealing enormous brown eyes and a nose the exact size and shape of a large tomato. It wasn't Dobby. It was, however, unmistakably a house elf, as Harry's friend Dobby had been. Harry had set Dobby free from his old owners, the Malfoy family.
Did Sir just call me Dobby?
Sorry, I just thought you were someone I knew.
But I know Dobby too, sir. My name is Rinky, sir. And you, sir... You is surely Harry Potter!
Yeah, I am.
But Dobby talks of you all the time, sir.
How is he? How's freedom suiting him?
Ah, sir. Sir, meaning no disrespect, sir, but I is not sure you did Dobby a favor, sir, when you were setting him free.
Why? What's wrong with him?
Freedom is going to Dobby's head, sir. Ideas above his station, sir. Can't get another position, sir.
Why not?
He's wanting paying for his work, sir.
Paying? Well, why shouldn't he be paid?
House elves is not paid, sir. No. I says to Dobby, I says, go find yourself a nice family and settle down, Dobby. He's getting up to all sorts of hijinks, sir, which is unbecoming to a house elf. He goes racketing around like this, Dobby, I says, and next thing I hear from you's up in front of the Department for the Regulations and Control of Magical Creatures, like some common woman. House elves is not supposed to have fun, Harry Potter. House elves does what they is told. I is not liking heist at all, Harry Potter. But my master sends me to Top Box, and I come, sir.
So that's a house elf. Weird things, aren't they?
Ron pulled out his omnioculars and started testing them, staring down at the crowd on the other side of the stadium.
Wild.
A display from the team mascots will precede the match.